Welcome to another news. I'm Jeff Brady. I want to get into a couple topics here on the show. But remember a couple weeks ago when Zach Taylor was on talking about the inothernewsradio.com website, and he was explaining how my website was being consistently attacked. He's never seen anything like that. Well, we're going to have a quick update with Zach about what had happened just recently. Zach Taylor, welcome to Another News.
Thank you for having me, Jeff.
It's good to have you back. For the record, it's important to talk about this material because listeners, I think, would want to know what tactics are being used to quiet the voices that are bringing really good information to the airwaves. If you would, could you bring listeners up to date with what had happened to the website inothernewsradio.com that has the content on it from 2012 to January 2017?
Well, like we had said in the last interview, your website had been the target of sustained denial of service attacks. Basically, it got to be of such a level that my hosting company was forced to shut down my server so that I wouldn't harm websites that were on the server besides yours. So basically in a very short amount of time, like in less than an hour, your website got hit with over 600 bot visits. So that would be, you know, people sending hits to your computer, to your website, probably from like an infected computer, or if it was a network of computers that were set up specifically for the task of taking down websites, that wouldn't surprise me. But yeah, your website got so much traffic so quickly that it forced me to have to bring down everybody's websites, and then we had to move your website to a special managed server that would, you know, hopefully keep your website up and running and also not endanger the websites of other people.
Right. From what I understand, the site caused a serious security alert at the hosting company, and they had mentioned that because of these attacks of denial of service, the CPU resources of that one server were being used up at about 75%.
That's right. And the limitation is supposed to be up to 25% of the CPU resources. So yeah, that coordinated attack of visitations to your website just ate up all the server resources and made it impossible for the other websites to run in tandem.
We didn't actually get to the bottom of why additional service that was purchased to protect the website from malware was removed. No one knows why that happened. It was deleted. But it did put you in a bad situation because this is part of your livelihood, and I do apologize for some of this because it would not have happened if you weren't gracious as to put the website on your account, which I really appreciate that you did, but it came at a cost here.
You know, it's not a problem, Jeff. I definitely had a couple of stressful days, but overall, you're a good friend. I enjoy your content. I think that you do good work. Any way that I was able to help, you know, even if it, you know, was only to get you onto this managed server, if that was the reason that we met, was to get you to this point to make sure that your website stays online and is not not taken down by attack, you know, as often, that's a win.
I do agree. Yes, the sustained attack on the website, filling the server with fake requests that tie up resources, a typical method to take down websites. That's the war that's raging amid the quiet countryside.
That's correct. I would also mention that right around the same time that your website was experiencing a denial of service attack, the WikiLeaks servers were also experiencing a denial of service attack. I just happened to see that on Twitter around the same time.
Zach Taylor with ZTT Consulting, thanks very much for being on In Other News.
Thank you, Jeff. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Why would my site be repeatedly attacked after rebuilding it from a previous attack a year ago? The archives go back to 2012 of weekly one-hour radio shows for anyone to visit, press play, and listen. The show topics cover a wide range, including Jungian psychology, high-quality information on archetypes and the psychological theory of the human shadow, and an entire show on healthy boundaries, but also content on the life of Wilhelm Reich and his discovery of orgone energy, and then related interviews with Don and Carol Croft and their friend Dooney. There are many important interviews on geoengineering that if were fully distributed without censorship, I suspect would have significant effect in countering some of the climate change propaganda. Speaking honestly and openly about the oppression surrounding inventors of free energy may also draw unwanted attention. Let's hear some content from past guest Patrick Kelly, a civil engineer who put together the Practical Guide to Free Energy Devices ebook we give away as a thank you gift that's put on the In Other News Archives discs. The nature of interference Patrick experienced is interesting as well. Patrick Kelly mentioned that he had 6 different websites destroyed and then further access denied so that he couldn't redress the situation. He asks, what is it that they don't want you to know? Well, how about the fact that you don't have to burn fuel to get power? Shocking, isn't it? Does it sound a bit mad to you? Patrick Kelly also states, I've had my main email account hacked, all messages intercepted, and spurious, damaging emails sent back in my name. I've had the undivided attention of a skilled liar working for the opposition for the last 18 months. Now, this was a while ago. This is a number of years ago. With the objective of delaying and diverting me. And when getting Patrick as a guest, he thought I was that same antagonist. So it took a while to verify myself. Well, we hear part of the second interview with Patrick, specifically the part about attacks made against those who create free energy devices. Let's have a listen. Patrick, you're one of very few people that I know that can actually talk about specific incidences where individual inventors were threatened or harmed or poisoned, murdered in some way for creating free energy devices and trying to get it out to people. Can we go down a short list of these inventors and their story?
All right. Let's start with people that I know personally. There's a mechanical engineer with his own workshop and business in India called Ravi Raju, and he produced a replication of Dave Lawton's hydrogen fuel cell, what Stan Mayer called a water fuel cell. And he was doing experiments on this, and he was publishing on YouTube videos of where he got to and what his measurements were and so on. And he was raided one day by 5 carloads of thugs who took his papers, took his materials, took some tools, took his cell, and told him to stop talking about these things. It was actually quite funny, as it happened, because he had just decided that he'd done as much as he wanted to do with the hydrogen cell, and he was going to move on to deal with magnetic devices. But this is an instance whereby inventors or developers or experimenters are harassed to a very considerable degree. They claimed that they were from the VAT office. He talked to the VAT office afterwards, and they said that they knew nothing whatsoever about any of these people, that they were nothing whatsoever to do with the VAT office.
the value-added tax office, the general taxation. So that's one instance of somebody that I know. Another person I've met is Bob Boyce in America. Bob is expert in doing hydrogen devices and electrolysis of water and other things. In fact, one of the driving mechanisms that Bob Boyce produced has been used by a guy in South Africa to charge, self-charge a battery. The battery powers Bob's circuit, and the circuit actually charges the battery that's driving it. And this guy has got a little daughter, and his little daughter has a car driven on a car battery. And during the day, she'd drive around in this thing and have fun. And at night time, her father would attach this charger to the battery itself, and it would recharge the battery overnight, ready for the next day, which is pretty interesting because in theory, that's impossible. But in practice, he's done it more than 30 times. But Bob had a design which was very popular with 100 flat plates creating a very large amount of HHO gas, typically 100 liters per minute maximum, and 50 liters per minute being a constant. The difference being that it's difficult with 100 liters a second to actually stop the splashing caused by the bubbles coming out of the liquid. It's quite difficult to stop that getting out into the gas output because the gas flow is quite high. So it's quite difficult to actually get a baffling system which will stop the droplets but let the gas go through at high speed. But Bob was in developing his system in his workshop behind his house, and he was running the engine of a car in his workshop on this HHO gas when he was approached by the cops. Now, the cops said that he was due to have a 3.5 year long jail sentence for running a vehicle on an unapproved fuel, which is, of course, rubbish. But anyway, this was the excuse that they were using. But Bob went to court and managed to beat the charge there in court, which a lot of people wouldn't have done. But it was ridiculous. I mean, he was doing it in his workshop behind his house. He wasn't on a public road, and there's no reason at all why he shouldn't run his vehicle on HHO anyway. But that was one of the steps. Another step then was he was befriended by somebody who I would never have trusted, called Major Todd Hathaway of the U.S. military. The manufacturing process was deliberately messed up. Instead of preparing the plates in the electrolyzers as they needed to be, a different system was used, which guaranteed that the cell wouldn't work properly. So the objective was to try and persuade people that Bob Boyce didn't know what he was talking about, which, of course, Bob opposed vigorously on the web and got nowhere because people knew perfectly well that Bob Boyce was a real expert in this stuff. So that's the second one. We have the instance of Bill Williams in the States, who had been active on the Yahoo Watercar Forum for quite some time and was highly respected. He's produced various other designs since, which are pretty useful. But he, as you know, was intimidated for running a Joe cell as such. We've also mentioned Dave Lawton in Wales. Dave, very silly, applied for a grant from his local authorities for a development that he was doing. He never got it, of course, because they don't fund people who produce things that are useful. But shortly afterwards, he was visited by two CIA men in black, literally, well, except that one was a woman. Okay, a man and a woman in black, if you like. They are very clearly CIA, very taciturn, very grim, and they took away the various papers that Dave had prepared for applying for this grant, and they never returned them. So Dave got onto the local authority people and said, where are my papers? If you're not going to fund me, I want my papers back. And they said that they knew nothing whatsoever about these two people that visited him. They had no way of contacting them. But the papers were returned eventually, in spite of that, in spite of them not being able to contact them. But that is not directly suppression as such, but it shows very close supervision of anything involved by people who are competent. Take the case of Alan Caggiano in America. He produced a carburetor. Now, the efficiency of carburetors depends on converting the liquid fuel into a gas, or the worst, little tiny droplets suspended in air. Now, you get a great improvement in efficiency if you skip the droplets and turn the fuel into its gas state before you feed it into the engine. And Alan produced a system for that where he was getting 111 miles per gallon on his American car, which is pretty good considering the American gallon is 20% less than the gallon elsewhere in the world. And this is something that he publicized. He painted on the car that he was doing this, that there was no pollution, he was getting a lot of MPG, and they put him in prison for some years. It's not unusual for people to get stuffed into prison because they're a pain in the neck as far as the establishment is concerned. So he eventually got out of prison and he continued. You will find, if you want it, his design on my website. He had three or four different designs. But the same happened to most of the people with high MPG designs. There are more than 240 patents on high MPG carburetors. The way that the establishment fights back is they have got about 103 different additives that they use with petrol, gasoline in your case. And they add that to the gasoline for two reasons. One of them is they want to get rid of this rubbish that they're putting in the gasoline. And the other reason is that they will clog up any device that produces just vapor rather than the liquid into the car engine or the vehicle engine. So there are a lot of people like that who have a real problem. If we move to people who are well known, for instance, there is a guy called Floyd Sweet, who is closely associated with Tom Bearden. I sent you a video where the efficiency of Floyd's system was 150,000 times greater than one. In other words, it was 15,000,000% efficient. Mm-hmm. For an input of about a third of a milliwatt, he was getting more than 500 watts of electrical power out. And that's well documented. Now, they intimidated him by shooting at him. And when that eventually became ineffective and he went to go and get the thing manufactured, he met with a most unfortunate accident and died, I think, of lead poisoning from memory. You tend to die of lead poisoning if somebody shoots you. There's another person also was in a meeting with Tom Bearden. He'd Japanese guy called, if you pardon the pronunciation, Teru Kawai. He had a motor which is 160% efficient, an electric motor. He wanted to run motorcycles and scooters on this particular motor. Mm-hmm. And he'd got a patent. The details are all in my ebook if you want them. And he was in a meeting with Tom Bearden when the room was entered by various thugs. He was taken away and he was intimidated, and very successfully, he then refused to go any further with the deal. And so his motor, which is well known and very effective, was never produced. We also have the situation with John Bedini. John Bedini showed a system known as the Tesla switch, which he, in his instance, he built a copy into a small cigar box. He showed this at the Tesla Tech conference, I think it was in 1985. And he'd had this running for 6 months solidly, self-powered. And shortly after the exhibition, he was approached by two armed thugs in his workshop. They smashed his Tesla switch. They shoved him up against the wall, shoved a gun in his face, and said he would buy gasoline for the rest of his life.
Well, that was part of an interview with retired civil engineer Patrick Kelly. And as listeners may remember, he assembled and wrote The Practical Guide to Free Energy Devices, an ebook that's about 1 million words, with nearly 3,000 illustrations. And it's probably one of the only places you'll find information about free energy devices, how they work, and who invented them, consolidated in one place. And we did two interviews with Patrick, and we talked about the various categories that he organized free energy devices into, such as magnets, HHO, aerial, gravity, motionless, buoyancy, and a general category. We also talked about QEG, free energy, and the potential money-making swindle involved in that project. This type of deception isn't new. Patrick had explained how the effort to suppress free energy technology was embedded into the fabric of society many decades ago. For example, Nikola Tesla's Manhattan laboratory was destroyed by arson. In January of 2014, a sculptor was invited to the Tesla Science Foundation. Actually, it was my sister, because she sculpted a figure of Nikola Tesla, and it caught the attention of the people at the Tesla Science Foundation. It was online. She then invited me as a guest to the New Yorker Hotel, and this is this time in 2014. That sculpture, if you want to see it, you can go to lisaazzanosculptures.com. It's LISAAZZANO. sculptures.com. And I think you go to the sculptures tab. I don't have it in front of me. But I thank her because I would not have known about the event at all. At this conference, Mark Passio gave a presentation titled, Who Was That Influential to Take Tesla Out of Schools? Mark is a member of the Nikola Tesla Club and runs the site whatonearthishappening.com. I would not have known about Mark Passio either. It was really interesting. This controversial talk examined the inception of censorship in obtaining real knowledge and connects it to the problems humanity is facing now. But now we're going to hear part of that presentation by Mark Passio.
Before people get ahead of themselves and think we're going to bring all the Tesla technology to fruition, and guess what? I'm the number one advocate of that. I'm the number one proponent of that, an enthusiast of that. I think that the world needs that above many, many other things, okay? But if we think we're going to bring Tesla's visionary technology to fruition within a state of slavery, we're lying to ourselves. We're kidding ourselves, okay? We have to stop trying to put the cart before the horse, okay? You can't put the cart before the horse, okay? People think, what the free energy movement seems to think is that Tesla technology is the horse, and it's going to bring in freedom in the cart into our culture. Freedom's riding in that cart, and Tesla technology is that horse. It's going to pull it in, and we're going to magically be free once we develop that. Well, you know, I'm sorry to burst the bubble on that, ladies and gentlemen, but it's the other way around. It's exactly the other way around, okay? Tesla technology's in that cart, and the horse is true freedom, an understanding of what true freedom is, living in harmony with natural law, the laws of morality, have to come first to usher in an era of true freedom, and then the Tesla technology will be pulled in. Not a moment until. There can be, no free energy in an ongoing state of slavery. Slavery must be ended first before free energy can ever be manifested. Thank you. Now, what I'm really talking about here is a paradigm shift, okay? It's a paradigm shift in the mind, and the religions of money and authority have to be completely abandoned. They have to be completely abandoned before that new manifestation of free energy can occur. Okay? Free energy can only manifest as a natural consequence of universal spiritual enlightenment. And that enlightenment, contrary to what many people will tell you, is, by definition, the abandonment of these false religions of authority and money. That's what enlightenment is, contrary to what the New Age movement will tell people that it is. That's what it really is. Okay? And I think the key ultimately lies in the mind of each one of us, in getting out of illusory notions that we stubbornly cling on to because we believe these things are necessary. They're not necessary, they never have been necessary, they never will be necessary. These are the control system factors that ultimately hold us back from true evolutionary development, from true evolutionary progress as a species. And I think if Tesla were here today, he would tell us about the importance of freeing our minds. He would advocate that we really need to do one thing in mass as a species if we are ever going to see his most brilliant and visionary technologies implemented, and that is this: to end slavery. When we do that, and not a moment before, we will see a new world, truly a new world born, that is a world of order and peace and prosperity, and most importantly, freedom. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. Nick, thanks so much.
Mark, thank you very much. Can you read the Declaration of Energy Independence?
Sure.
I know you don't like recognition, but I can't stay without that, man.
Okay. We wrote this back in 2009, some members of the Tesla Science Foundation. And it's called the Unanimous Declaration of Energy Independence. Nick asks me at events to read this because I helped to write it. And we used, of course, the Declaration of Independence of America as a guide and a starting point. So here it is, and it's kind of like, I guess you could call it the mission statement of the Tesla Science Foundation. The Unanimous Declaration of Energy Independence. In conscience, July 10th, 2009. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for the people of Earth to dissolve the relationships, habits, and thought patterns that have bound us to an unsustainable energy paradigm, our conscience compels us to state our grievances with these outmoded systems and to unanimously declare our intentions for the future of free energy. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that in our modern age, all means of energy production are not equal, some being polluting, limited, non-renewable, and controlled by corporate-driven profit motives, while others are clean, abundant, sustainable, and able to be made freely available for the betterment of all people. That human innovation and creativity has excelled beyond our current methodologies of energy production. That the current energy paradigm is ecologically unsound, economically unfeasible, socially divisive, and morally bankrupt. That dependency on our current energy production methods has led to the increasing environmental degradation of our living planet and to a growing systemic mentality of scarcity, lack, fear, aggression, and imperialism. that free energy technology has been developed and suppressed for over a century, and we need not be dependent on non-renewable energy for a moment longer. That the time is now for us to develop means of energy production and distribution that utilizes the inherent abundance of nature itself. That, as stated by the great scientist and inventor Nikola Tesla, science is but a perversion of itself unless it has as its ultimate goal the betterment of humanity. That whenever any energy model has been perpetuated toward a system of control, limitation, and the stagnation of humanity's collective evolutionary progress, it is the right and duty of the peoples of all nations to abandon the outmoded technologies upon which such systems are built and transition toward those which are clean, renewable, sustainable, and free. We, therefore, the free people of Earth, in good conscience, assembled, appealing to the supreme order of nature for the manifestation of our intentions, do solemnly declare that in our lifetimes, through our continued dedication, ingenuity, and inspiration, we will bring to fruition a new and free energy paradigm, one in which the empowering advancements in technology are made widely and freely available to all peoples in the service of human potential. And for the support of this declaration of energy independence, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
Mark Passio, speaking at the event put on by the Tesla Science Foundation, and the presentation was titled, Who Was That Influential to Take Tesla Out of Schools? So we're opening the phone lines right now for you to call in. The number is 347-335-0818. And what about Mark's comment that not until this system of slavery is abolished will free energy systems be integrated into our society? Patrick Kelly said, nearly all free energy devices operate in an open system. That's energy from our environment. And the closed system excludes temperature, cosmic particles, gravity, sunlight, wave, tidal, and electromagnetic. Now, nearly all free energy devices operate in an open system. That's what Patrick Kelly had mentioned. There's also pyramid power, the passive power. Remember, Patrick Kelly mentioned, what is it that they don't want you to know? Well, how about the fact that you don't have to burn fuel to get power? That's an interesting point that he made there. Now, it all connects back to what's going on around us right now. And you just look at Standing Rock, braces for pending Trump order approving DAPL in next few days. I don't know if you've seen that. President Trump has officially begun his first week in office, as we all know, as the nation waits to see what executive orders Trump will issue and which promises he will keep. The Standing Rock Sioux are anxiously anticipating a decision from the new president regarding the controversial Dakota Access Pipeline. And according to one congressman, sorry, I missed that call. Call back. The number is 347-335-0818. And according to one congressman, there may be cause for opponents of the DAPL to be concerned. Only hours after Trump's inauguration, Kevin Cramer, a Republican congressman from North Dakota, appeared on the Rob Port Show. And during the interview, Kevin Cramer said Trump will be rescinding a recent call for an environmental impact statement and granting approval for the final leg of the pipeline under Lake Oahe. WBAI, you're on the air.
Yeah, so I have a question. I just wonder, what kind of Tesla energy are these people talking about? How does it work? Where can we find what's written about it so we can look it up and understand how to make it work?
Those are good questions, caller. Could you turn down your radio by chance?
Yep, did it.
So you're asking, where could you find information about what Tesla put together? Now, his laboratory was burned. A lot of material has been confiscated by the government. I'm not sure if you know that story. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, I know that story. I heard it was. So how can we recreate it if it was all destroyed?
I wonder if the military has tried to recreate what he has done. Some people say the high active Aurora research program has been developed because of Tesla technology or used Tesla technology to create it. And there are other examples as well. But usually when free energy devices and that level of invention starts to surface in society, it's co-opted, usually in this country, by the military. So, classified.
I see. Well, I know that you can use gravity with water, but I thought Tesla, I mean, I understand that, like, the cell phone technology is based on Tesla's research, you know, when we're talking about generating heat or electricity, how can we do that using, well, of course we can use the sun passively, but how can we, you know, if it's, sun isn't, you know, if it's very cold, like -5 degrees, you know, you need a lot of heat. So how can you do that without hydrocarbons?
Without burning fuel.
Right.
That's what's in Patrick Kelly's ebook. You could find that online. We give that away as a premium every fundraiser now for In Other News. And I'm just helping to disseminate this material and get it out there because I think people have given up and they're just comfortable to be in a society that does burn fuel because it's integrated. There are cartels that are, you know, that have all these jobs and people are dependent on the whole system.
Right.
But even when people start to emerge and create their own systems because messing around in their garage and, hey, let me try this, and it actually works, and then they get visited upon, as Patrick Kelly was explaining.
Mm-hmm.
There's a problem, a big problem here in our society, and I'm wondering how long is this going to keep going, you know? You don't really hear very many people talking about that when they're talking about climate change or they're talking about this horrible pipeline going through South Dakota and onward. You just don't hear this come up in conversation. It just ends.
That's true. We don't hear about it. The only we only know about 19th century technology, candles and wood burning and burning of fossil fuels.
I hate to say it, but I think people have given up on this one. So I just want to keep that conversation going. It's really interesting to have to hear Mark Passio on that presentation he gave back in 2014.
Is his blog, does he explain anything about Tesla technology in his blog?
He might, but I'm sure online there are so many sources to find more detail and grab PDFs. There's so much information on there, and he was into so many realms. It wasn't just wireless technology and free energy. He was doing so many things. But thinking about it now, it would be a threat, as everyone knows, to the energy cartels.
So should I look up free technology, or?
First of all, if you're interested in Patrick Kelly's stuff, I would look up The Practical Guide to Free Energy Devices.
Right.
And then his name, Patrick Kelly, and you'll get a pretty big PDF. What a collection of data there is there. I would recommend that. Then I would look up Tesla Technology Free Energy PDF.
Uh-huh. Okay. And Mark Passio, he has a whatishappening.com blog.
Whatinthewordishappening.com.
Oh, what in the world? Oh, this will get me started, huh?
Definitely will get you started.
Now, to understand it, do I have to be a math genius?
Now, some of these inventors, some of them don't have a college education. They know it. It makes sense to them. They haven't been indoctrinated.
Right.
Anyway, thank you, caller. I appreciate those
Well, thank
inquiries.
You for your help.
You bet. Have a good evening. The number to call is 347-335-0818. Are you thinking about this topic, and do you think people have given up on this in the United States? You heard Mark Passio. What do you think about this free energy not manifesting until slavery is abolished? Go ahead, caller. You're on the air. Go ahead, caller.
Sorry, my radio was. Yeah, I guess I just want to say is I'm getting a little sick of everywhere I go. I respect the great inventors, but the way America is now, I'm just surprised that we go on and on about these inventors. I hear about Edison. I hear about Tesla. I see this new Tesla car coming out. I hear about all these white inventors. But we don't recognize that it's not just one man who sent us to the moon. I just saw this Trading Places. Did you see this movie? Or Trading Faces, or Hidden Faces, or Figures. Hidden Figures. Did you see this one?
I didn't see it yet.
It's all about how we wouldn't have made it to the moon without some serious help. But you don't see that history. Only now we're getting some of that history. So when I hear about any inventors, I respect them, and I'm glad to hear about it. But I also want to hear about all the people who went into that invention. You don't just invent something like that in one day.
Good points, caller. And it takes a lot of people to produce some of these incredible inventions. But sometimes it is one person. And Tesla didn't do this in one day, nor did Wilhelm Reich or Edison. It took a lot of work. Anything else?
I just want to make sure that even the guy who was changing Tesla's light bulbs when he was inventing and he was working late, even the man who was cleaning his toilet, I mean, I want these people to get their due respect. In America, in 2017, we're looking too much at the guy at the top, and he's getting all the credit. We're looking at the Trump Tower. He's getting the credit. But the guy who's cleaning the toilet in Trump Tower, where is he? He's invisible.
The support network.
And you can't even get that job if you're not connected. You've got to keep your picture off the resume. They won't let you in. I just want to make sure that we get respect across the board. That's why I'm calling in tonight. And it's very enlightening. I'm enjoying the show tonight.
Appreciate those comments. Have a good evening.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. The support network around us. Wow. I really didn't think about that. But it does take us all to get to work together to manifest free energy. Slavery must be abolished, Mark said. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Oh, all right. It's Mario.
How's it going on this rainy evening?
Pretty good. Sitting here listening to your show. What were the bullet points again?
Just the main question. Not until this system of slavery is abolished will free energy systems be integrated into our society. Is that true? Do you think that's what?
Yeah.
Do you think he's right about that?
Yeah, I think he is. There's a small percentage of the world population that like accesses the information. I mean, 2% of maybe 2% in any given area. That's something that I believe now. I think at some point it might shift.
My thinking is we already have it, but it's not allowed to be in the hands of regular people because it will, you know, the obvious, it will start to spread and disrupt and put a stop to our dependence on burning fuel.
You know, I heard once, and I forgot where I heard it. I don't know if I heard it on BAI. I don't know if I heard it on one of the documentaries that was offered, and this was a long time ago.
Sure.
And what they said, a speaker was saying in something that was played. It wasn't live on the radio, but I remember something was being played. And it might have been even on regular PBS, but they said that in the 15th century, a lot of time was spent by the scientists of the time spent on how to increase the psychological influence over the public if you were in the ruling, you know, elite or royalty. And I think it goes back further than that. And I just
you're saying turn the collective mind away from this topic.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. Okay,
and and I think that's what your speaker was saying about the slavery. We won't get it until this. And I think he's referring to the mind and what people put on themselves and so on.
So that's the major roadblock you're thinking about. It's more, it's not really tangible. It's in our minds.
I mean, people would have to get together.
Do you notice the conversation never goes there, even on the station? It
yes.
just doesn't go into
yeah.
this concept. Even after these wonderful people who put their body in the way of corporations and oil companies to stop the production of oil to protect the environment, but then this concept does not follow up like it. You would think that this would be the logical next step, but maybe you're onto something, Mario. Maybe it is
well,
something like that.
One of my teachers that I've learned from said, "Why are we always looking for a leader? How many political leaders? How many priests and popes and gurus and Buddhas have come along?"
Mario, look, the point here is that the people who are doing something and inventing these free energy devices are being threatened.
Patrick Kelly
has had his websites, six of them, taken down. He's had his email taken down. My website's just gone. From 2012 to 2000, it's gone. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, yes, this is a tactic. And then it's just like what happened in Pizzagate, the way the mainstream media just rallied against it in a way to tell you not to look over there.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's the same kind of energy. Doesn't that encourage people to do something about it? I mean, wouldn't you think that people would then rise up?
Yes,
or have people given up?
I don't think they gave. I don't think they've given up. I think they get beaten down pretty quickly, and it's like all somebody has to tell you is just in on a job, let's say in a company. Why don't you keep quiet, keep your head down, and it's not your story. You want to keep your job, just shut up and just go to work. And is it going to take another leader or two to get us out of that? I don't know.
Yeah, Mario, we're running out of time.
Yeah, yeah, you take another call. I don't have it formulated, so I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, take it easy. I don't know if we have time for another call. If someone could formulate an idea in 30 seconds, that would be interesting. 347-335-0818. Okay, let's do it. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi there.
Yes, this is Tony. Thank you for your show. I wanted to say on a quick note, I think that people are the people who try to destroy people's freedom of speech, people's freedom to do, people to control their land the way they want, to even come into indigenous land and take over and do what they want. I think those people who want to be the controllers and the owners of everything, they need to own up, to grow up, and stop being immature, stop trying to monopolize everything, is what the problem is.
Great analysis. I would even go into the parasite and host issue. Thank you, caller, for that. That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Join me again Monday, 11 p.m.
See the people run and gather. Now something high has caught their eye. And with the sound of something, the speaker stands to wave and cry. He says, hey, ye faithful prophets, now something dreadful has occurred. Johnny, come down from the sky. I shot him down, I'd surely fall.